All right, we'd like to welcome each and every individual to Legacy Partners and our third segment on the Saturday call called Discovering My Action Vision. My name is Elise, and along with Jill, we'll be your co-facilitators for today's session. So if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you, or if you call in, go ahead and call in to 888-230-2300, or if you're calling in outside the U.S., give us a call at 630-393-9909. There will be a special gift offering at the end of today's session, so you'll definitely want to stick around for that, and we will dive right in. So we had a great conversation on curiosity, and I'm just kind of curious what people think on how that relates to discovering our own action vision and really discovering what it is that we need to do. So any thoughts on that?
That's a great question, Elise. I love that. How curiosity plays into our own action vision and life vision. I'm thinking.
So I can give you kind of my 10-second spiel on the whole thing. So when I was growing up as a kid, I loved doing experiments. I just loved playing with things, pulling at nature, tearing things apart, whatever. I just loved doing that. What happened over a long period of time was that passion and that love kind of disappeared into, I would say, just growing up. And then at some point, I realized that I was really good at being curious about things in nature. And so I started to pursue that. That has translated into, for me, into a journey in the sciences and now a journey in religion. And now a journey in combining science with religion, and now a vision that is to help share that my journey with a whole bunch of other people. So I guess the level of curiosity has led me to find an actionable vision through my life journey. I only wish I had been able to find this a little faster. That would have helped certainly to kind of help me manifest what I want to manifest now more quickly. But, I mean, that's a journey of life as well. So what I'm thinking then is kind of identifying what's the curiosity and what's then the passion as quickly as you can probably will help define or help you with figuring out what your action vision would be in life. That's what I'm thinking.
So you had said that at one point you kind of lost that curiosity. Would you say that it was just a phase? Do you think that that's like societal? Is it society we just lose that curiosity? Can you look back and see things that maybe if your surroundings were different, mm-hmm. had you continued to be curious?
So certainly one of the things was having certain types of voices in my head or around me saying that what you're thinking about is not right. So it goes back to, I think, what Richard had said earlier about environment. Depending on the environment that we're exposed to or create for ourselves, you know, we're going to exceed or regress in particular areas. I mean, if you're around certain types of people who are earning X amount of dollars, you're going to earn within maybe $3,000 or $4,000 of those people as well. If you're around people who think in a certain way spiritually all the time, you're probably going to think that way as well in everything that you do. So environment, in my mind, has a really, really big role to play in it, and making sure that the right people are talking to you very early. Like Zaire, I mean, Zaire is getting counseled by people with tremendous experience and knowledge about life. I mean, Zaire can't, if he stays this course, I mean, what's his future going to look like? I mean, the sky's
right.
the limit.
Right.
So I think it has a lot to do with what my environment was and the relationships that I had formed. And that's why sometimes we need to shift those relationships, move them in different directions, find different people to start associating with so that we can realize what we're truly gifted on this planet to do.
You know, I'm listening and I'm thinking and I'm wondering. So I think normally I tend to think the same way that environment and the effect of people around me sort of shapes who I am and how I respond. But, you know, I'm wondering, though, if maybe there's not a different way of looking at it. So if I'm always going to be the product of my environment, where is my intentionality? Where is my say about who I am and what I do? I wonder if it would be possible to kind of like be a beacon of light in the darkness, mm-hmm. where I could go into any environment with any people and not have them sway me, but have mm-hmm. me not only hold my own, mm-hmm. but be able to maybe share with others in a way that could help them maybe see that they don't have to be just subject to environment. You know, I think about that book, The Seduction of the Masses,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's one of the great seductions is that we are what we are, and we're limited by the environment. You know, so you know if I'm Jewish and I've had these experiences in my life, you know, that shapes me who I am, and I think it does to a certain extent. But I think the great seduction is that's a limiting factor, whereas.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to the radio this morning, and there was a fellow who was talking about safe, you know, this whole thing about safe spaces on university. And this might be something, you know, you have some thoughts on, Greg. They were talking about how important it is to have, like, trigger points, you know, when teachers are going to talk about, you know, subjects that could be potentially you know, difficult for students, or intellectual safe spaces. And I thought, you know, that's like so backwards. It's like, that's like so taking the responsibility for being what you need to be and achieving what you need to be away from people and saying, no, you don't have to be, because so much of what I understand is our life action vision is taking the initiative and being intentional and struggling against all those things. And it's sort of like the struggle. You know, Mark
mm-hmm.
says, points out that 50% or like some huge amount, like Zaire. Zaire has a better chance of becoming president of the United States than my kids do.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? Because he doesn't have a dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's being brought up by a single mom. So, like, you know, normally in society, we're told, wow, what a huge disadvantage that is. And, you know, we got to help kids like that. Well, you know, maybe they need to help us. Maybe they need to teach us the lesson that having that adversity in their lives that they face is one of the key things that propels them to greatness.
Wow. Great.
Wow.
There are two sides to every story, aren't there?
Absolutely.
Wow.
What I would say in addition is that to support what you're saying is that the challenge I think that we all face is kind of overcoming those obstacles that we've created in our minds that shuts us down when we should be excelling or takes us off our path when we should be moving in a specific direction. So however those signals come in to block us in a way that our true energy is not realized, then we have to figure ways to dismantle them. That's why mastermind groups are so powerful, or can be so powerful, because those negative signals can be shut down by reinforcing and positive and uplifting messages that people can latch onto and say, yeah, oh, wow, these guys are going through that too. Oh, wow, I can overcome this, you know?
Yeah. Hey, Kevin, are you on still, Kevin?
No, he is not. No, it's at least Jason.
Kevin has an amazing, yeah.
Go ahead.
Kevin has an amazing story. I wish we could, like, call him up and get him back on the phone, because I believe that Kevin has the key to what we're talking about.
Mm.
Whoa.
Okay, well, let me see what I can do.
I'm going to send him an email right now as well.
Could you summarize it for us as we wait to get him on?
I'm nowhere close to being able to do that, but I do know
okay.
that. You know, Kevin had his son, who's 25 years old, died completely unexpectedly. It must have been a month or two ago. And I can't even imagine what that must be like. But somehow Kevin has found a way to transform the pain of that into, and shut down this all sort of negative stuff that could ensue from an event like that, and he has somehow found a way to channel that into the most amazing energy and the most amazing powerful force to change his life in the most positive way I've seen. It's absolutely amazing to see.
Wow.
So he's got that key. I think he understands. So maybe he'll join us.
Jason, what are your thoughts on what's being shared, environment, and how that shapes us, or two sides to every story?
I'm really curious what you meant by the two sides to every story and how you think that relates to layer, but I do believe the environment will shape your discovery of your action vision. I feel like my environment, for the most part, probably shut a lot of my curiosity down. And once I've kind of opened it up myself, and the more I hang out with people on mastermind calls and with Mark, it continues to open up my mind and my curiosity to really discover my own action vision. Not sure if I ever, or like my own life vision, I should say. And I'm not sure if I ever would have discovered it. And if people aren't curious themselves, I wonder if they ever will discover their own life vision. I feel like curiosity plays a big role in your own discovery. Not sure if that makes any sense. But.
Yeah, sure.
That's great.
So why do you feel that your curiosity was shut down based on your environment, Jason?
Because of growing up Amish, it's more about being a part of the system that they have created. Don't step too much outside of the box. And this is how you should live your life, and don't push don't push the boundaries, don't ask certain questions. Sometimes they don't have answers to certain questions. I don't know, I feel like it has played a role in it from growing up like that, that you're, because once you start asking questions about the system itself, if now you have pushed a button that they either don't know how to answer or they don't know if how or if they should answer. Yeah. It could threaten the system that they have created.
Jason, this is Nancy. So I was going to ask you, I was curious to ask the question. I think you just answered it. It threatens the system that they have. So would that be the answer of why there is so much structure in this community?
Yeah, I believe so. If you people start asking too many questions about the system or the structure itself, it threatens or weakens their reinforcement of the box they have put themselves in.
So, Jason, do you know how that experience, which sounds pretty negative, how that could be like an incredibly positive, powerful force in your life?
I can see that it's more powerful or more positive that I'm more aware of it than probably 90% of the people within the system. And I could see how opening that up within me will continue to lead me in my own journey to discovering my own vision of what I'm really, really passionate about. Not sure if that answers your question, or is that what you meant?
I think it's related to the breakthrough that Kevin made. It's like each of us has a unique set of limitations that we've sort of grown up with, you know, sort of been given to us, and that we've sort of adopted. And each of us has the opportunity, I believe this, is that each of us has the opportunity to take those limiting, that negative perspective and turn that into an amazing positive force like Kevin has found the secret of. And I believe that that might be the secret to happiness for each of us, because each of us has sort of like our own unique pattern. And if we take that sort of pattern of negativity, that sort of negative perspective pattern, and use the same pattern in a way to further, to awaken, right, that was good, Nancy, to awaken. If we can awaken to that and then turn that around and help other people awaken to the same thing, then it becomes an incredibly powerful thing. So I was just wondering, you've seemed to have had some awakening, and how that's worked for you and how you've done that.
I think I've done it through curiosity. I feel like that's where I've gotten of where I'm at now is once I started experiencing more of the outside world, it was almost like a feeding frenzy of, like, you can't get enough of it. You just want to know more and more and more about how it works, how it's different from your own box growing up.
So, Jason, do you find yourself like having negative thoughts about those experiences and about the Amish community?
I think most of mine comes from parents wanting to not being open to my perspective or not being open to seeing things from my point of view. I think that's where a lot of my negative thoughts on the system or the structure itself comes from, is because they don't want to see things from my perspective, and therefore it creates a lot of tension and tension on the relationship with itself. I feel like they would be more open to it, or open to see maybe seeing things from my perspective. But then I try to see it from their perspective too, or try to be considerate of them, of trying to see it from their perspective, but I feel like I already know their perspective, but maybe that's just me being ignorant too.
Right. So there's a lot of negative thoughts and a lot of negative energy surrounding that whole situation for you. And so the secret that Kevin has discovered is how to transform that negativity into a very powerful force.
Which also plays into the atomic ball principle, right?
That's exactly what I was thinking about. Can you talk a little bit about that, Jill? I mean, you have the same situation in your life, right? Here you are. You're a single mom. And you could become very resentful and bitter and negative about that. You know, you probably have lots of negative thoughts about your situation and all the things that you have to struggle with and encounter in your life, right?
I have previously, yeah. I mean, it's playing the victim role, or playing the, I don't know what the other side of that would be, but which goes into the atomic ball. So it really is what you're focusing on. If you're focusing on the bad or the negative of any situation, then that's going to blow up and it's going to get bigger and bigger. Or you can play that into the good and the positives and finding the good in everything or the situation, and then that will blow up in that atomic ball. Alan, you may be able to explain it a little more eloquently, or Elise even.
I think you're doing a great job. So, and you said something really interesting when I sort of said, you know, you've probably got all kind of negativity around that situation in your life, and you said, well, I used to. So what did you do that's changed that? How has that changed for you?
It literally is just the way that you think about it. With anything, right? You can, like I said, choose to play the victim role in life, or you can choose to be in control of your life and take ownership over the things that have gone on, right? So I do believe that there's a difference between, like, growing up and when you're younger and you don't really have that control, so maybe in Jason's situation, but you still can turn that into a positive situation for where you are currently in life and moving forward, even if it just taught you of what you do and don't want to do with your children. But for me, as an adult, you know, I mean, I never wanted to be a single mom, and I was left to deal with the emotional breakdown of my son, which is more painful than anything. But I can choose to turn that into, and like you said, Alan, turning that into a positive, right? So looking at, oh, he's, you know, poor kid, he's missing out on life, and he has, you know, he's going to live in poverty, and he's going to be in the streets and this, that, and the other. Or we can look at 50% of the presidents were raised by a single mom.
That's just what I was thinking.
Right?